Welcome to the Full Court Press Podcast. I'm Ian Prinz here with...
And I'm Rylan Robb.
This is the first one of the year. I want to say season, but...
Yeah, so we had a few episodes last semester that we started the podcast. We had a few wonderful guests on. Hopefully we have them return. And there was supposed to be a lot of video with our podcast, but I was lazy and I didn't get to edit the video portion of the podcast. But it's up on Apple Podcasts and all that. But this year,
your podcast.
Yes, wherever we get your podcast. And now, now we're actually going to commit to the video part. Shout out Tommy. He's done a great job renovating this podcast room. As you can see, there's a TV behind us.
We're going to utilize that here shortly.
Yes, we will. Not this first episode because we weren't prepared for a TV. We walked in and there was a TV and we were like, what?
Pretty much.
Yeah, but we're going to be utilizing this in the podcast probably next time. So, yeah.
There is no probably. We will be.
Oh.
And to start us off this episode.
Yes, a lot of things to talk about. A lot of things in sports to discuss here. I'm very excited to get into those.
As one of the greatest colleges ever for college football, they always say when they start their games because of one of their commentators in the 80s, it's football time in Tennessee, but it's not Tennessee. It's football time in America. We have college football back. From when this was recorded, football starts tomorrow with the NFL starting on Thursday Night Football. Fun fact, we are both older than Thursday Night Football.
Really?
Do you want to take a guess on when the very first Thursday Night Football for the NFL was?
Well, you're 19.
Yes.
So... I feel like it had to be fairly recent.
So what's your year?
Like 2015?
Incorrect. November 25th, 2006 was the very first Thursday Night Football game. I can't remember who it was
There's your little trivia fact.
Yeah, there's your little trivia. I've been waiting to say that all week. I've known that since I was in 5th grade. but we're going to start with what always starts first, college football.
Yes.
What a year. It's been so far. It's only been 1 week.
It's been 1 week, and it's already a really, really good week to talk about. I
agree. Technically 2 weeks because of week zero.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really officially start it. So let's just jump right in.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing to talk about is Kansas State.
Kansas State. So they opened up their season in Dublin, Ireland this year against Iowa State. And if you haven't seen the pictures from what the Bars were doing before the game, you have to watch. You have to go look at it because it's hilarious. Well, they ended up losing to Iowa State in Dublin. I want to say the score was not close at all.
Do a little fact check here. So the Iowa State score, I know Iowa State won that game.
Iowa State won. They play Iowa this week, which is an amazing game. It will be a good game.
So it was 24-21.
So it was close.
It was a close game.
It was close. But, you know, they started their season overseas. Mm-hmm. And then the very next week, they won a very close game on Saturday against North Dakota, an FCS school. And Kansas State is ranked. So they should not be winning very slim games against any FCS school. So that's been raising the question, is Kansas State this year's Florida State? Florida State, of course, last year. They started their season, and they lost a very tight game overseas. I want to say it was in Ireland, and I think I'm right on that one. They lost to Georgia Tech, and then they ended up only winning two games that season, and they were struggling all year long to win games. It was a very awful season. So that's been raising the question on if Kansas State is this year's Florida State. They were ranked. I personally don't think they should be ranked anymore. I don't think they are, but they definitely shouldn't be. So what do you think?
I definitely think that – I think Kansas State may still be ranked, but they should be ranked at like 24-25, mm-hmm. and like right on that bubble of getting like booted out. Especially at week one, I don't think there should be any major changes. But we will address the major changes in the rankings here shortly. But like in terms of Kansas State, like they won their game. Like it's week one, nothing too crazy is happening. So I wouldn't say like it's too early to tell. But I would not be surprised if they were like FSU last year. because of the trends that they're showing.
It's very hard to tell two games into the season, especially with any team.
I'll tell you one team that's pretty easy to read right now, and that's Alabama.
That is true. Because who did they lose to last week?
They lost to Florida State last week. Just talking about them.
Lost to Florida State. A crazy, crazy season opener, home opener for Florida State after only winning two games last year, like we said. The biggest storyline for me in that game, at least going into the game, was Thomas Castellanos, the transfer quarterback for Florida State who was at Boston College last year, who upset this Florida State team. And really started the spiral, you know, the spiral downwards for him.
Yeah, but Florida State looked really good, though. Everybody picked Bama to win. Everybody's really high on Alabama, it feels like, all the time. Like, all last season, people were high on Alabama. They got to the playoffs, and then they got immediately bounced.
Well, Thomas Castellanos over the summer said, Alabama isn't anything without Nick Saban. And he was talking. All this trash, and everyone's like, "Oh, Alabama! It's going to put that chip on the shoulder for Alabama. They're going to go out there. They're going to be crazy. You know, they're going to be good, and they're going to dominate this Florida State team, especially with them all they have 2 years." But Thomas Castellano backed up his trash talk, put the team on his back, and led Florida State to a 31-17 upset over Alabama.
And, like, everybody was picking Alabama to win that game, too. And
except for one.
Yeah.
Lee Corso.
Yes. I was going to say, everybody but him.
Yeah.
Literally everybody had Alabama to win that game. And to be honest, with all due respect, they probably should have won that game.
I had Florida State.
No, personally. I mean, like, on paper, like, probably should have won that game.
In
terms of rankings and everything like that. Florida State was the better team. And they did come out with the win, but it begs the question, is Alabama overrated? You know, is there some coaching issues? You know, like, what's going on here with Alabama? Because I feel like everybody was super high on them last year, and they weren't that strong of a team. And I feel like the same thing is going to happen this year. Maybe even, like, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, a losing record or maybe even, like, a 500 record, but maybe not as good as last year, I feel like, if that makes sense. I feel like they're on a downward spiral.
A losing record for Alabama and their fans is a less than 10 win season.
Yeah, not making the playoffs.
It's not making the playoffs, such as last year. But that's
did they not make the playoffs last year?
No, they ended up playing a bowl game against Michigan.
They were close to the playoffs, though. Yeah. They were very close. Were they first one out?
No, they weren't even in. They didn't even make it.
Wow.
But everyone thought they should have made it, even though they've only lost to three teams to that point, which was Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Oklahoma, two were unranked, Vanderbilt and Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's bad. You can't, With the teams that were in the playoffs, you couldn't justify putting them in.
But my favorite part about them not making the playoffs is in the ReliaQuest Bowl, they played Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So January 1st, 2024, they played Michigan. The winner goes to the national championship. Of course, Michigan won that year, the national championship. They won that game. Well, then the ReliaQuest Bowl was on December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way they started the calendar year, they ended the calendar year with a loss to Michigan.
That's great.
And this Michigan team, nobody thought they were going to be that good. Like, they thought they were going to lose to Alabama. Same thing that happened to this Florida State game.
Yeah. Well, Michigan wasn't great by any means last year, but they still beat Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I feel like that brings us into a good point to talk about Ohio State. They pretty much wiped the floor on week one. They did pretty well.
They did good. I wouldn't say wiped the floor, but I think it was what you expected, a one-score win.
It was only one score?
It was a one-score win.
I'm thinking of a different game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a different game. All the scores are, like, blending together in my mind. I feel like Texas, like, maybe should have won that game, but also the fact that, like, it was a home game for Ohio State definitely helped that. I feel like if Texas would have hosted that game, it could have been a very different outcome. But
I agree. It was also a really big major for first start against a major team for Arch Manning. So,
I don't want to say he's overhyped necessarily. Maybe a little bit, but, like, at the same time, like, you got to give him some games to, like, you know,
so,
like, having his first game this season, be against Ohio State, and then everybody saying he's overhyped. Is like, is that really justified?
Yeah.
Like, you're coming off playing the national champions, who are still rock solid.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions for Ohio State and the outcome of this season.
Yeah.
But that has been, after beating the number one ranked team, the preseason number one ranked team, in the home opener, but it was at Ohio State. Do we think Ohio State will repeat?
Based off this first game, I think it's definitely a possibility. But they could also be like Oregon last year, where they basically go undefeated all regular season, and then when they get to the playoffs, they get some better opponents, and they don't, and like they lose one game, and that's it for them.
I agree, but my thing is with Ohio State, I've had so many questions entering this season, especially with them losing the majority of their team that won the national championship last year.
Yeah.
With them going to the draft, they're starting two running backs, their starting quarterback, some of their offensive linemen, a few that, like pretty much their entire starting defensive line, one corner, I believe.
They've lost a lot of players. So it begs the question, will they be able to repeat? And the only answer I know to say is, like, time will tell. But right now, they still look like a very strong team, still very much a contender in that spot, unless they just start losing games. But they definitely had a strong showing to start, because they beat the number one ranked team, which was Texas. And then now they're the new number one, as they probably should be at this point. My
prediction is they won't. Jeremiah Smith is starting a sophomore slump early on with more drops in that first game than he had all last year. Granted, he only had one last year, but he had two or three in this first game.
Yeah. Now, we need to talk. We need to get rolling here. We've just been talking about college football for like the last 15 minutes.
There's not really much else to talk about.
No, but with college football, so I got the top 25 teams up right now. Who do we think is going to win the Heisman as of now and the national championship?
The national championship is easy. I should have put – so on our bullet points, I put this game
under this. I feel like we're going to say the same team on national championship prediction. Okay, do you want to say it on three?
Nah, because I have like a little bit of explaining to do.
Get a little explaining?
So
– okay.
My
who's your pick?
So my pick was the beginning of the season. My pick was the winner of the LSU-Clemson game. In my opinion, these two have the best. These are the best two rosters in college football. They're both returning a lot of really good NFL caliber players, and my pick was always the winner of this game. But my pick to win this game won the game, so I'm going with the LSU Tigers.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say LSU as well. They look really good. They're very strong, especially compared to last season.
Their transfer portal, they hit it like crazy. They got the best player from Florida State last year, Patrick. I can't think of his last name. He's a edge rusher, and he's arguably my favorite. Well, honestly, my favorite edge rusher in the league.
Yeah,
in the NFL.
The other thing with LSU is like I feel like a lot of people again had Clemson over them, and LSU won, and they had a very strong showing. And I think this is the game that I was referring to when I misspoke about the Ohio State Texas game. I think this is the game I was thinking about, because LSU really had a super strong showing in this game.
They were down, I want to say, by a touchdown, and they came back and won 17-10.
Yeah.
So they did a great little 180 in that game.
Now, in terms of Heisman, I think we're both on the same page. I think Lenore, yeah. Sellers from South Carolina, I think he off that first game, like, immediate Heisman contender. Me personally, on a personal level, Luke Altmyer. But that's just me. I don't think he'll win it. I don't even think he'll be a contender. But, like, he is a dog. Like, watch out for him.
So, we don't agree on this, actually. My pick is, I feel like this is going to be a lot like the 2019-2020 season. LSU's going to sweep. Of course, that 2020 season, Joe Burrow was the Heisman winner. And he was the one that led the LSU Tigers to that national championship win. And I'm going to go with Garrett Nussmeier here. I really like him.
No, I like the pick. I like that.
He won. So, for the first time since 1934, LSU let a quarterback wear number 18 because it's a retired number. And Nussmeier in camp earned it. He earned Matt Mock's number of 18, and he's wearing it this season. And I firmly believe that he is the best college, best quarterback in the upcoming draft. I think he's the best quarterback in college football right now. And I don't think anyone compares. But obviously, he can't really run as much as Lenore Sellers. So that's where I think it gets a little competitive, if you will, to rank a pocket passer quarterback rather than a game extender. And I think it's hard to
compare the
quarterbacks
two.
And mobile quarterbacks, but
eventually they will, mm-hmm. and you can only give out the trophy to one person.
Yeah.
So there's no telling who it'll be, but it'll be somebody. And again, I'm an Illinois fan, but I'm really hot in Illinois this season. Luke Altmaier, great. Beatty broke a record in game one. I know it was like Western Illinois is who they played, but it was a very strong showing for them. They had a bigger margin of victory than what I expected, and they look good, especially like coming off of last season as well. They're ranked 11 right now. I think they don't have a very good strength of schedule, but if we could get in the playoff conversation, I'd be happy.
I firmly believe that this Volunteers team is going to make a lot of people's brackets. Obviously, no one makes brackets. I think it's going to upset a lot of people. Joey Aguilar looked very good in that first season opener, and we played a real team. We played a real FBS team. We played an ACC team in Syracuse, and all three of our running backs that we played scored a touchdown.
Yeah,
and I like that the three-headed monster, if you will, in the backfield of Star Thomas, Peyton Lewis, and Deshaun Bishop. I think you're going to put those fresh legs in, drive after drive, and they're going to be really good. They're going to play SEC football. They're going to run the ball. They're going to pass it when they need it to. And Joey Aguilar has looked phenomenal, way better than Nico. I can't say his last name, not because I can't pronounce it, but because I'm not going to say a nice word in it. So let's move on.
Let's move on from football. Let's talk a little bit about
more football.
I was going to say UE.
Yeah, that works too.
Talk about some UE sports and then go circle back to football.
Okay.
Or do you want to like go through the other football stuff?
I'm already in the football mood.
Well, let's just go down.
Let's
talk about football.
He didn't really have a say on this, so I don't want to say ours, but my three games to highlight this week, mm-hmm. The Cowboys at Eagles, banner day for the Eagles. They're going to be hanging their banner tomorrow night. Also the first game of the season.
Also, the Cowboys suck.
I agree. That's why I want to highlight. That's why I want to talk about them because it's their first game in the past 4 years without Micah Parsons because he's on better lands. That's why they say grass is always better on the grass is always greener on the other side. Grass is literally green because he's in the green and gold now, and he's looking fantastic. He's looking phenomenal, and he looks good.
And the Cowboys did not have a strong season last season.
Nope.
And they're not great, and they're not getting any better, especially with that trade. So,
but I believe that it will be a closer game than people realize, especially with the Cowboys now going out and getting a stud, an older stud in Kenny Clark. They're going to be able to stop the run more with Saquon Barkley, and they're going to be able to stop the tush push more with Jalen Hurts running that. More with Kenny Clark being able to just push.
Tush push is still a thing.
Yeah. Kenny Clark is one of the best true nose tackles in the NFL. And he didn't have a good year with the Packers last year because we switched to a forefront. So there wasn't really enough space for him to play that true nose tackle. So that's where I think trading him was a good idea. I hated it.
Yeah, you kind of hate to see it, but like it makes sense.
It makes
for both teams a little bit.
It makes the most sense.
Yeah, and then you have the Lions at Green Bay for the Packers.
Yeah, they.
And this will be a game to watch because the Lions were really good last season, but they came up short. So they're going to be looking to go on a tear again this season, and then the Packers
got better.
They got Micah Parsons.
The Packers got better. Their defense. The secondary is not as good. The secondary is definitely not as good as it was last year. I will say that. But with Micah Parsons now, he's going to be able to put a lot of pressure and still, and Xavier McKinney will be able to get a lot of those interceptions based off of just how good he is. Yeah. And if they pass the ball anywhere near him, he's coming down with the ball. I don't care what anybody says. He's the greatest safety in the league right now. Kyle Hamilton is a close second. Kirby Joseph is just a dirty player. He's not that good.
Yeah. And then go ahead and talk about the last game here.
The last game, I just kind of put this on there because it's a cool game because it's in Brazil. It's the Chargers-Chiefs, you know, and the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs about it, and they're going to somehow pull out a win when they shouldn't. But I like the Chargers this year.
I was going to say, I agree with that. I like the Chargers a lot.
Especially with two really good running backs. Najee Harris, of course, he has the eye issue where he shot some fireworks at 4th of July. Have you heard the story yet?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and he lost some of his eyesight, which I hate that. I hate it for the guy for sure. Yeah, but
you got to be careful when you're doing fireworks on 4th of July like that.
Mm-hmm. But they also have Amarion Hampton, who was a first-round running back for a reason, and he's huge. He doesn't look like he's only 6 foot tall. He looks taller. He looks bigger. And he looks like he could smash through any wall. So good luck, Chiefs. You will need it.
Yeah. Now, do you want to talk about some of your next points here?
Yeah. So our predictions for the MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and the Rookie of the Year's predictions, obviously, offensive.
MVP could go anywhere. I feel like it's way too early to tell on MVP.
I agree.
I don't know. It's hard to say. It just part of it depends on team success as well. Honestly, is it too soon to say Jordan Love would be up there?
Yeah, I agree because he's not. I don't think he's gonna win MVP.
He could win like offensive player.
Oh, I doubt that, too, because his receivers just can't catch the ball, so he's not going to be able to get those stats up a lot.
I feel like he could, but it's too soon, because there's other players like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson still there, still playing at a high level.
I'm going to spoil one of my predictions right here. But,
go for it.
But with future offensive rookie of the year Matthew Golden, Jordan Love will have a good season.
Yeah, he's definitely getting a good receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Golden.
For sure. But for me personally, I believe MVP this year. Oh, I forgot one thing after I make this case. Mm-hmm. I believe it will be Josh Allen. I think he's gonna repeat personally. He's just so good. He's another one of those guys that I feel like when he gets a full head of steam, he's going to be able to crash through some walls. He's a linebacker in a quarterback's body. Or a quarterback in a linebacker's body, sorry. But he's a huge guy.
So, do you want to move on, talk about UE Sports?
Yeah, but now
that we got the football out of our agenda.
The one award that I forgot about that they're bringing in this year is they're finally, for the first time ever, finally, we are bringing an offensive line award.
Oh, really?
So, the best offensive line will earn an award.
Their own award.
Deserved.
It is deserved. Very deserved. I feel like they don't get enough credit.
No, the
but like they help the quarterback do their job and make them look good.
The offensive line is the most important position in college football in any football, because without him, you won't have an offense.
True.
Without them, the quarterback can't throw the ball. Without them, the running back won't have his block to lead him.
And kind of like the anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're definitely the glue. They're definitely the glue guys. That's what they're called, but I just think that's kind of disrespectful.
I believe
they are the most important piece.
Definitely an important piece. Now, moving on to UE Sports. Big one here. We both worked this game.
What a game. That's all I got to say. What a game.
What a game. Women's soccer against Purdue.
What a game.
We won that game. We were down 0-1 going into the half. I'll be honest, I didn't expect us to win this game against Purdue, Big Ten school.
I promise you, cut my arms open, my blood isn't red, my blood is purple and orange. Go Aces.
Cut the laugh out, please.
No. This all stays. But
Taylor Ware scoring that game-winning goal off that penalty kick was great. I can't remember who scored the first one.
I don't remember, but basically what happened is we scored one, had a great shot on the goal, went in, looked great, big celebratory, like we'd be happy with a tie. And then basically right after that, or very quickly thereafter.
I'll say about 5 minutes later.
Maybe even sooner, but very, very quick. They got Purdue got a yellow card, and we got a free kick.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up scoring off of that kick, and that's what ended up winning the game. Because it was 2-1, and then after that, watching the game, Purdue definitely took it up a notch, and I felt like they were more...
But it feels like that first half,
yeah,
we couldn't get the ball out on the other side of the field.
No, and I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but after that second goal went in, Purdue got maybe a little more scrappy.
High tempo.
Yeah, high tempo. Definitely, like, trying to get more goals. Like, if you look at the stat line, they had over 20 shots on goal.
They had 22 shots. I want to say 17 more on goal.
22 shots total, and then I want to say at least half of that were shots on goal. I'm not sure the exact stat line. Feel free to go look it up. But it was close to half shots on goal.
A huge shout out.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. A huge shout out to Allie Lammers, the second half. She played goalie the second half, didn't allow a goal. Had an amazing save where I thought the ball went in and it didn't. Because she, she made an amazing save, blocked it with her hands, went up and was able to get the ball out of bounds for like the seventh corner kick for Purdue of the game. Evansville had zero corner kicks, but it was a crazy game.
Yeah, and then quickly here, so we haven't watched this game, but we're going to it tonight. A little bit of a fourth wall break there. Michigan State plays UE at Meeks. For volleyball tonight, and we're both going. We will maybe try and get some pictures and videos so we can put on the TV behind us next time, and we will discuss it during the next podcast, hopefully. But
I did look this up today.
I am very excited for this game.
And Michigan State,
excuse me,
Michigan State has not lost a set yet. Not a game, but a set.
That's kind of crazy. That's really crazy.
That's...
Yeah, I don't like our odds, but we're getting somewhere.
They've played teams like us.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, especially after last year's.
Yeah. And we have a new head coach, but you know, we'll see how it goes. I know what's our record for volleyball? Do we have a decent
I can't.
No, we've won a game. We're very quick, we just started the season, but I think I know we've won at least one game because I saw a post that was congratulating the new head coach on their first win for UE for the season.
So they have, you know, one win.
Yeah, so at least. I think hopefully we could take a set and keep it close.
I believe we could. I firmly believe we could.
So now let's go ahead and switch topics to men's soccer here as we wrap things up a little bit.
Coming off of last year's finale, if you will, where they played UMass in the first round of the playoffs, there was high expectations for them, of course.
Yes.
And I wouldn't – I say the men's soccer team is struggling right now. They haven't won a game yet, but it's soccer.
Yeah, and they do have a lot of ties.
And their one loss, it was an expected loss. It was to the number 15 team in the country, North Carolina. North Carolina's only win that week. If you watch the TCU North Carolina game, it was a blowout football.
Yeah.
But so they are 0-1-3 right now. So they are looking for their first win. They play Lindenwood.
Tomorrow,
September 4th.
Thursday, September the 4th, yep.
So that should be a good game. That should set the tempo for the rest of the season going down the stretch.
It should. And then finally, something kind of interesting to leave you pondering with as we approach basketball season very quickly here in another month. This was your idea, so I will let you discuss. Discuss a little bit.
Don't hate me if you're at the school and you see this. Ragland, I think you're doing an amazing job. But I've heard some talk around campus. I can't remember who it is.
Just kind of like a rumor mill.
After a not so positive season last year, and then after the departure of their best player from that, their two best players from last season, in Cam Hafner and Pizzotto, and their glue guy in Tanner Cuff.
Tanner Cuff left.
All three leaving. Is Ragland on the hot seat? That's the question. I don't think he is. He just got extended. But I have heard that despite that extension, he might be on the hot seat.
Men's basketball is UWE's kind of flagship sport because we don't have football.
And we beat that lousy team in Lexington 2019.
Look it up. Insane game.
Go Vols.
I don't think so. I think we definitely need to see how we do this season, but I think that we definitely need we you got to win games, and that's probably where some of this is coming from. We didn't have the best season. We didn't have a terrible season. We're about middle of the pack in the MVC.
Yeah.
So like we weren't. It wasn't a bad season. It wasn't a great season by any means. But again, we're losing a lot of players, but we're also bringing in a lot of players. So there's definitely some unknowns there. At the end of the day, it's all talk.
And now with Drake, they probably won't be as good this year.
Yeah.
After losing their coach and their best player. And That's then
right. They both moved to the same place.
Yeah.
I remember talking about this.
So I firmly believe that the next MVC powerhouse is going to be Bradley this year.
Ooh.
They were really good last year. I believe that they're going to be good this year.
Could we make the NCAA tournament this year? Could we take the MVC?
I doubt that Bradley will. But with that being said.
A man can dream.
With that being said, Drake is hurting.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. This year, we need to go and take it. We need to go beat Drake. We just need to play like the only team that we have to beat is ourselves. Because that's just the reality of it, is
there
we need
times,
to be that team.
There were times last year where we looked really good. Like, if you watch the first half of the game we played against Western Kentucky, the first half of that game was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, I feel like we got into our heads and we fell apart and we lost that game. But it was the first half was very strong. I believe we were winning for a good portion, and then we kind of let it get away from us. So if we just like keep it going and we stay focused, I feel like even compared to last year, like with a lot of players leaving, I feel like UWE can be a very good, very strong team. And I feel like the MVC is kind of like you said, up for grabs.
And I really like the transfers that we got.
I agree.
Alex Hemingway came in from, I want to say he was from Vanderbilt.
Yeah, we had a player come in from Pitt.
Pitt, yes. Yeah. We had one guy come from St. Louis University. And then we had another guy come from a D2 school. But he was probably one of the best, like top five D2 players. I can't remember what school it is, but I remember he came from there and he looked really good. And we got some really good freshmen. Aaron Gutman. I actually have a class with him. And he seems like he's ready to come in and play and win.
So. Get him on the pod. Invite my, hey, you want
to
be on the podcast?
Coming soon to podcasts near you.
All right, but that's going to wrap it up for us today. Talked a lot about college football, NFL.
And college football.
College football, a little bit of UE sports.
College football.
And college football. Oh, do you remember the college football?
Go Vols.
Go Illini.
And
go Aces.
And go Aces. We will see you next time.